It says, but I beseech you that I may not be bold when I am present with that confidence wherewith I think to be bold against some. In other words, he's kind of warning them, don't make me come back there, you know, one of those deals. And he says in verse 2, which think of us as if we walked according to the flesh. And then he says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. So, got some thoughts about all that tonight. Let's have a word of prayer. Lord, I pray that you'll bless tonight's message, and appreciate folks coming out in less than ideal weather and less than ideal roads. I pray that you'll be with us as we have some time here together. Look forward to this week, particularly Thursday night, and kind of a treat, and we look forward to it. We pray that you'll be with us here in the next few minutes as we sort through some things. Father, I pray that it might be clear, it might provoke some folks to thought in some things that they maybe hadn't thought about before. So we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So, pretty famous passage, quoted a lot, and I would say it holds some mystery. You know, I've been saved for lots of years and all, and have quoted this passage, know it by heart, but when you read, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, you know, how do you do that, right? I mean, it's kind of hard. I mean, my mind is not the brightest bulb in the room. But it's bright enough that when, you know, I get thinking about something and stirred up, it's real hard to shut that baby down and just say, we're not going to think about that anymore, right? Anyway, you know, something that the younger people have a hard time understanding is, you know, the old phonographs where you literally take the needle off the record. That's what Doc always likened it to. And I have to admit that it's pretty hard. I mean, you hear folks say, well, I just couldn't quit thinking about that. And I know that that's a battle, right? And so, I mean, when you're hurt or angry or stirred up, worried, impassioned about something, it's hard to shut her down. And now this sermon lays out a lot different than most. This is not, you know, 6 points or anything like that. This is kind of like a plop. And you just kind of got to follow some things through here. So there's going to be a lot of Bible tonight. But if you would, I need you to try to kind of board my train of thought and think about this. And I hope that you'll contemplate the fact that, you know, you've probably looked at this passage before, you've heard it quoted a lot, and then thought in the end, how do I even do that, right? Well, let me begin by saying it struck me in going through this that, you know, it struck me that the Lord apparently treats the thoughts and the imaginations as two different things. For instance, I'll give you some Bible. Look in verse 5. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought. Okay, so the imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God is to be cast down. I mean, you're to take it from its pedestal and smash it into the ground. But the thoughts can just be captured. So it's treating those two things differently. The Lord is treating those two things as two separate things that should be treated differently. Well, I want you to think about this. We're talking mainly about imaginations tonight. Look in Genesis 6. I know you're familiar with these things, but just look how this is worded and think about it. I'm saying that to start, the imaginations of your thoughts and your thoughts, the Lord indicates in 2 Corinthians 10 to treat those two things differently. The imaginations are the danger. The imaginations are to be smashed like idols. They're to be cast down. Meanwhile, you can just capture your thoughts, put them in handcuffs, and take them to jail. But they're treated differently. Now notice Genesis 6:5, familiar passage. God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, but notice, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart. Every imagination of the thoughts. That seems to indicate that the imagination flows out of the thoughts, and yet they're still to be treated differently. Look in Genesis chapter 11. No, I'm sorry, Genesis 8. Genesis 8, 21. And the Lord smelled a sweet savor. This is Noah's offering. And the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground anymore for man's sake, for the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. The imagination of man's heart. The imaginations of his thoughts, the imaginations seem to come out of the thoughts, and they're a function of the heart. Notice 11:6, Genesis. 11:6. By the way, you should keep your finger in 2 Corinthians, but it's too late to tell you that now, isn't it? 11:6. And the Lord said, behold, the people is one, and they have all one language. This is the Tower of Babel, and this they began to do. And now nothing shall be restrained from them which they have imagined to do. Nothing shall be restrained from them which they have imagined to do. They imagined this. They caused judgment on themselves because of what they imagined to do. It's linked with creativity. It's linked with man being a problem solver, initiating things in his mind, you know, looking at something and saying, how can I fix this? Or how can I take this further? Or if God says something, why should it be that way? Isn't there another way? Isn't there a better way? I wouldn't do it that way. Imaginations. Those imaginations are to be cast down. The thoughts can then be captured, but the imaginations are something that are smashed. So think about that. Now look in 1 Chronicles 28 real fast again, just trying to build a little. This is going to be real intense for just a little while, and then it's going to be over, okay? But 1 Chronicles 28, it's like getting your tooth drilled out. It's going to be intense for a while, though. 1 Chronicles 28, and notice this phrasing in Solomon's day, 1 Chronicles 28 and verse 9. And thou, Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy father, and serve him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind. For the Lord searcheth all hearts and understandeth all the imaginations of the thought. So there it is again, that the imaginations seem to flow out from the thoughts. In other words, they're in there linked, but they're still treated as different. Now, one more, the next chapter over, 1 Chronicles 29. 1 Chronicles 29 and verse 18. 1 Chronicles 29, 18. O Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, our fathers keep this forever in the imagination of the thoughts of the heart of thy people. Keep this forever in the imagination of the thoughts of the heart of thy people. Now, just remember, when you're talking about imaginations, emoting from the thoughts, but also from the heart. We've seen that twice. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. The idea is that the imaginations cause a problem. Now, we're going to be back and forth between these passages a little bit. So again, not only 2 Corinthians 10, but look in Romans 1 just a minute. Romans 1. Okay, we repeat this. This is the umpteenth time that you've heard it this month, probably. But Romans 1, and notice verse 20. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their thoughts. Doesn't say that. Now, I know that David says some things about vain thoughts, so I don't question that thoughts can be vain. But notice in this passage, they became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. The imaginations is what drove this. I'm going to look at that for just a minute here. We're going to just stay here for a minute. I want you to see that apparently what you need to think of as separate is the thoughts and the imaginations. And while I know that your thoughts can wind up being damaging, it's your imaginations that really are the threat. I think I'll be able to explain that in just a minute, but just let me show you this. Imaginations can mess up how you think, and imaginations can mess up what you know. I believe this is where the corrupt mind comes from, is that you'll know some things, but you're not satisfied with God having shown you something in completeness. And so it's your imaginations about those things that mess it up. Now just watch how this goes. First of all, look in Romans 1:18. This same passage we looked at. Okay, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. So the wrath of God is revealed against those who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Well, then something is definitive is revealed from heaven. And by the way, these guys know the truth before they hold the truth in unrighteousness. They've been exposed to the truth, right? They know it. Look in verse 19, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them. They know some things about God already. It's been manifest in them. Now, that may just be Psalm 19, the heavens declare the glory of God, the firmament showeth his handiwork, right? That might just be the heathen knowing full well that adultery and stealing is wrong before they defile their consciences, right? But they know some things already by nature. And so, because when they, that which may be known of God, they know something is manifest in them. It's clearly manifest, for God showed it to them. I mean, there's some things they understand. Verse 20, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen. I mean, these people know it cold. They can look at it and they can see it. This is the way it is. God created this universe because of this universe. It's clearly seen, being understood. I mean, this is not abstract knowledge. This is something they know solidly, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, and they're without excuse. Because that when they knew God, now, I don't mean that when they were saved and got and trusted Christ as their Savior, but I mean they knew things about God before Christ came in the creation about themselves. They knew it because God showed it to them. They understood it. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations. They knew some things, but their imaginations destroyed the right knowledge of those things because of how men think. It says they became vain in their imaginations, and with that, their foolish heart was darkened. And so there becomes this progression down the pike. Notice verse 22, professing themselves to be wise, well, they became fools. There's a distance between looking up and knowing that God created this and having some things revealed and manifest in yourself that you understand about the God of the universe by nature, and then going from there to having the mind darkened, the foolish heart being darkened, and professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. And then they changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like unto corruptible man. So they knew something about the glory of the uncorruptible God, but they changed it and made it like the image of corruptible man and four-footed beasts and creeping things. I'm saying that men mess up what they can know by their stinking imaginations, the imaginations of the thoughts of their hearts, because the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Keep following this down. Not only that, verse 25, now because of that, God gave them up to uncleanness, verse 24, but notice, who changed the truth. So they knew the truth. And they changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator. And for this cause, of course, God gave them up again unto vile affections, so that they did change, so the women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. Okay, get that? Go on down to verse 28 if you want to see it again. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. See, we're talking about things that are known or manifest or understood or revealed. And the imaginations look at those things and the imagination starts twisting those things. And in its own fallenness, it's the imagination that ruins the knowledge that you have of God. So even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to something even worse. So if you wonder how people lose their minds, I would say this. I'm pretty confident this, at this point in saying that when men start losing it and become deluded and deceived, part of it's the devil, I get that, but part of it is the imaginations. Those imaginations need to be cast down. Now, you have thoughts anyway, and maybe some of those thoughts go awry, because David said, you know, Lord, save me from vain thoughts. And some of those thoughts can go awry, but those thoughts can be captured as long as the imagination isn't creating a monster in there. And I want to see how that happens in just a couple minutes, but just notice, okay, verse 28, they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, so God gave them over to a reprobate mind. Then notice verse 32, who knowing the judgment of God. See all these things that these people of Romans 1 knew, that the imaginations, their vain imaginations, messed up. Now, still pursuing that thought a little bit like that, notice Proverbs 12. I'm just presenting you the issue. I know that man's thoughts can be wrong. I get that. No problem. But I'm preaching tonight just about the fact that I think it's your imaginations that are the issue. And we'll make a little more application here in a second. But Proverbs 12, the imaginations are to be cast down. The thoughts can just be handcuffed and captured. Proverbs 12, and notice verse 20. Deceit is in the heart of them that imagine evil. Now, you know, it's not hard to imagine evil. You look at a situation and maybe you're afraid or frightened or scared, and you know, you look at somebody coming down the street and they're dressed shabbily, it's easy to think evil of them, okay? Well, part of the reason that you think that way, it might be good judgment at times, but part of the reason that you imagine evil is because deceit is in the heart. And so I'm saying that what begins in the heart is the problem. It's the imaginations that mess stuff up. Look at yet another passage in the New Testament this time, and the word imagination is not used here, but maybe you can see it. I had never thought of it quite this way. 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6. And notice Now, this is that passage where, starting in verse 3, if any man teach otherwise, consent not to wholesome words, that would be the words of the Bible, right? So, the words of the Bible are something you know. When God gives you words in His Bible that tell you something, what you should do or not do, or how you should think, that's set in stone. That's something you know. Now, be careful, because you know what you're likely to do is apply your imagination to those words. And that's where things get messed up. But watch how this goes. It doesn't use the word imagination. But notice, if any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine, which is according to godliness, doctrine is established in stone. It's something you know. Okay, he is proud. If this guy won't accept that, he's proud, knowing nothing but doting about questions and strifes of words. He likes to argue. He likes the controversy. He likes to strive. Whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds. Okay, he knew doctrine. He knew the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, wholesome words. He knew them, and yet somehow he wound up with a corrupt mind. How? Well, verse 5, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. Now, don't skip an important word there, supposing. He didn't stop with knowledge. The knowledge God gave. He didn't stop with what God showed him. From there, he went to supposing. You know what that is? That's imaginations, I think. And he wound up with a corrupt mind. See what I'm saying? Now, see, these folks we've studied in Romans 1 and here in 1 Timothy, they knew a lot. And then their imaginations kicked in and ruined it. Now, let me just take you back to 2 Corinthians 10 for just a second, and so you can see it there. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Okay, 2 Corinthians 10, verse 4. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God, to the pulling down of strongholds. Okay, casting down imaginations and every high thing. So I'm not exactly sure what every high thing is, but I know what imaginations are. And the imaginations and the high things exalt themselves against the knowledge of God. Now, against the knowledge of God, against you knowing God, against the knowledge that God put in you, goes both ways. You read the Bible, God puts knowledge in your heart and head. You know that now. You know that about God. You have that knowledge of God. You also, you know, it's knowledge about God, but it's also knowledge that God puts in you. All right? Those imaginations and the high things exalt themselves against the knowledge of God. And then, of course, the other part of it is bringing into captivity every thought. But it's the imaginations that are to be cast down. I mean, they're to be smashed like rotten idols. And then the thoughts can be captured. It's your imaginations that do the damage. It's like this. Here's Eve. Eve is in the garden. And while the Lord didn't speak to her directly, he spoke to her husband and said, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil in the center of the garden, thou shalt not eat of it, because the day you eat of it, ye shall surely die. Okay? So Adam told her, and so she had true knowledge, the true knowledge of the will of God, the knowledge of God. Don't eat of that tree. Period. What did she say from last week? I'm getting a raw deal. How did you get there? You got there because you knew something, and then your imagination kicked in. And then along comes the devil and helps it along. So I'm not suggesting the devil doesn't help it along. I'm suggesting that it begins again with you. And, you know what's expected of you and expected not to do. And yet your imagination kicks in before you. It's over. You're saying, I think I got a raw deal. The imagination's ruined it. Right? If she had cast down the imagination, then maybe we wouldn't even be fallen now. Unlikely, but maybe. But you see what I'm saying? Think about this. Here's Israel in the wilderness. They have been delivered from Egypt, or at least they're in the midst of being delivered. They are following literally a pillar of cloud during the daytime, a pillar of fire at night. You couldn't miss the will of God, you know, if it kicked you in the head, because it literally is right there before them all the time. They have been led through the Red Sea on dry ground. They are eating manna. They are drinking water from a rock. I mean, they are on Mount Sinai, and Mount Sinai is roaring. You couldn't miss God if you were blind and deaf, right? And yet they said, what? They said, he brought us out here to kill us. Well, everything that you could possibly know, God leading you, God delivering you, you walk through the Red Sea, he's feeding you, he's giving you water, he's talking to you off the mount. What makes you think he brought you out here to kill you? The facts don't match that. You took the facts and your imagination kicked in and off you go. But it's the imaginations that ruined it. Can you see that? If you can't, then you we're out of here, because that's the whole thing. Israel saw in Deuteronomy 4, God showed them no manner of similitude when he spoke with them. They didn't see an angel. They didn't see a cherub talking to them. They didn't see a similitude of anything. He said, lest you wind up making graven images unto me. So they didn't see anything, but by the time Moses gets back down from the mount, they have created a golden calf. Their imagination did that. What they knew, their imagination kicked in and ruined it. Now, I'm going to make the point tonight that if you're not careful, your imagination will ruin you. It's the imagination that needs to be cast down. The thoughts can then be handcuffed and captured. You know God hates a certain sin and that it's wrong, but you excuse it and you justify it. The fact is, you know God said it's wrong. Flee idolatry. Flee youthful lusts. And yet you still indulge them. Why? You make excuses, whatever. That's imagination. You justify it in your mind. That's imaginations. You wind up in something we quoted this morning. Look in Psalm 50. You're familiar with this. Just hadn't thought about it from this direction. Psalms 50. Psalms 50, verse 21. These things hast thou done, and I kept silence. Thou thoughtest that I was altogether such a one as thyself. You know what that is? That's imagination. God tells you the way things are, how he is, and how you are, and yet you still come out with the conclusion that, you know, this should be right because after all, I think it's right, and, you know, God will agree because God's like me. That's imagination. And it's going to defile everything. It's going to ruin everything. By the way, this is a very powerful verse. I like it a lot. Proverbs 19. Proverbs 19. Don't forget this one. Proverbs 19, verse 3. Okay. The foolishness of man perverteth his way. Pervert is a strong word, especially in our day. I mean, when you think pervert, well, you think some pretty raunchy things. Well, the foolishness of man perverteth his way, and his heart fretteth. Now, I know the word imagination's not there, but what is a heart that frets against the Lord? That heart knows what God said and what God wants and has certain manifest understanding and knowledge of God. And yet the heart frets against that. The imagination kicks in and tries to find a way around it. Your imagination will damage you. Now, let me just show you a sequence of verses here, and most of this, the rest of this is just illustration, but there's quite a few verses. Just let's work through it. Look in 2 Corinthians 10 again. Let's start there. 2 Corinthians 10. Is this making sense? Your imaginations, I mean, I don't doubt that your thoughts can be a problem, but your imaginations are the first problem you've got. Because you know things, and if you're not careful, your imaginations are going to find a way to work around them. And that's, they're going to corrupt things. So 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Now, notice several things in the passage. Notice, okay, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. So this is a war. This is the battle. Okay, we do not war after the flesh. We war after what? We war after the Spirit. Right? Okay. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. And so if you're walking in the Spirit, your warfare is not carnal. But I don't think it's, you know, you have to maybe go home and think about it and read through it, but those imaginations in verse 5 are carnal. I think when you read the passage through a few times thinking about it this way, you'll conclude that those imaginations that need to be cast down, well, they're not spiritual. They're carnal. And that's why the carnality has to be cast down. So casting down imaginations, that's the carnal thing that needs to be cast down by the man walking in the Spirit. That's part of the warfare. And every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. But think about that carnal thing for a minute, and walking in the flesh versus walking in the Spirit, and turn over to Romans chapter 8 real quick. Romans 8. And this is a string of verses. But we mentioned carnality back in 2 Corinthians 10. Okay, Romans chapter 8, verse 5, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. You don't have any problem understanding that. But they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded, see that? I mean, we just mentioned carnality, right, from 2 Corinthians 10. To be carnally minded is death. Now, I linked carnal-mindedness with that imagination in 2 Corinthians 10. Your imagination can get you killed. It can get you put on a shelf before the Lord and not usable. And it can get you killed. For to be carnally-minded is death, but to be spiritually-minded is life and peace. The spiritually-minded man is concerned about obeying God. The spiritually minded man sees what God said, sees what God intends, and casts down his imagination so the imagination doesn't work against the manifest knowledge of God. But you turn that imagination loose, and boy, are you smoked, right? I mean, God says a certain thing, then you start pondering in your heart why God would say that and why that might be wrong, and maybe the Bible's wrong, and everything else. And before you know it, your imagination has taken you places that you don't need to go. Verse 6, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Now take that over to Ephesians chapter 2 real quick. Ephesians 2. And remember verse 3. Among whom also we had our conversation in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh. And notice, of the mind. Now the lost guy's problem is that he's walking in the lusts of his flesh. That's where he is. He's not in Christ. He's in the lust of his flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. That means that carnal mind that is always imagining things against God and always debating whether when God said something, this is what he really meant. That carnal mind is what damns people. And in a Christian, that carnal mind, that imagination, is what ruins everything. Now look in just one more place about this carnality. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. See, what I came to with this is that I've got these relatively few verses, but I think if you start tracking the mind and corrupt minds and so on and so forth, you're going to find it connected in ways back to the imaginations. The imagination has to be cast down. Your imagination needs to be stopped up to a point. But, you know, I'm talking about in a spirit of sanctified manner. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and I'm in the wrong book. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Our brethren could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, verse 1, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able, for ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? Why do you have envy or strife or divisions among you? Because you imagine stuff about each other. You walk in and Mrs. So-and-so looks at you funny. And you go, what was that about? You know she looked at you funny. I mean, you know that, but you go, what was that about? If you're not careful, you search in your mind why there might be a reason for that. And pretty soon you've reached a wrong conclusion. And pretty soon, if you're not careful, every time you see her, you think she looks at you wrong. And you come to some hard conclusions then. I mean, it's verified in your mind. That's your imagination. It's your imagination. How often do you, you know, have to pull apart the kids fighting at home because they're ascribing things to each other that aren't necessarily true? It's their imaginations. Can you see that? The imagination needs to be cast down. It'll ruin stuff. I'll pull out some more things in just a minute, but I wanted to, I got that. Now let me just take you for another little brief run through the scriptures on something. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Now, we've been in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, and the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, mighty through God in pulling down the strongholds, and, casting down imaginations, every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. You treat thoughts, God says treat thoughts and imaginations differently. You cast down imaginations. You smash them. You break them. For the thoughts, you can capture them once the imaginations are cast down. Okay, so just another few pages over, 2 Corinthians chapter, just one page over, one chapter over, just 2 Corinthians chapter 11, I got thinking about this. Since it's so near, verse 3, but I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve, now there's Eve again, and if what we preached in part last week and what we've said tonight about Eve is true, Eve gets certain pure, solid, bedrock knowledge. If you eat of that tree, you're going to die. Solid, hard fact. And she goes away and thinks about it. And her imagination kicks in. Well, what has God got against me? I think I'm getting a raw deal on this deal. And before you know it, she's dead in her sins. See that? Okay, so you're in that context. As the serpent beguiled Eve, there's a reason maybe you get beguiled. Maybe it's your stinking imagination. Maybe that's why you're always getting dragged back off into sin, is what you're thinking, what you're imagining. But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted. So a movement away from simple things in the Word of God, corrupted from the simplicity that's in Christ. The movement, the complication in your mind of simple knowledge that God manifests and showed you, the truth in the Bible, to make that more complicated by overthinking it and imagining it, is a corruption of the mind. We've already seen corrupt minds tonight already for a minute, but let me just take you in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and just connect these two things together. Again, imaginations are not in this verse, but I do think they're connected. Now, I don't know if it's connected in your mind, all I'm trying to say here tonight. I hope it is. 2 Timothy 3, and notice verse 5. There are some folks that are traitors, heady, high-minded, verse 4. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of this sort of people, are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins and led away with diverse lusts. Now they're ever learning. They're always learning, but they're never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these. Now Jannes and Jambres stood before the prophet of God and saw God's power. And they knew it was true, especially after they couldn't replicate the things that Moses was doing, right? And yet still, as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds. What's wrong with their minds? By our thesis tonight, it's what they imagine. They think God's out to get them. They think God is unjust. They think God is unfair. They think God is really not holy. After all, why would God kill little babies? And why would God allow war? And why did God allow my great-grandfather to get sick and die slowly? Why? It's your imagination working. You've gone way beyond the facts. You've started reading stuff into stuff that you have no business reading into. And so you wind up with a corrupt mind. At the end of the verse, in verse 8, men of corrupt minds reprobate concerning the faith. Now, again, just another little run with this, with the thought of imaginations in mind, starting in Romans 1. I don't have a lot more for you, so just, you know, we'll be done here in a minute. But Romans 1. Okay, verse 21. Because that when they knew God, we saw earlier all the things that were revealed to them, things that were manifest to them, things they knew, things they understood. So they knew a lot. Verse 21, because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. They wound up with a reprobate mind in verse 28, right? Okay, thinking about those vain imaginations, they became vain in their imaginations. Look in Psalms 2. You probably know the verse already. Verse 1. Why do the heathen rage? And the people imagine a vain thing. The kings of the earth set themselves. The rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against His anointed. I mean, they're sitting here. This is a millennial passage. These are people in the millennium who see Jesus Christ before them. They know God's His Father. They see the power of God manifest through 1,000 years. And they still rage and imagine a vain thing. They imagine a vain thing in the millennium and rebel against God and Jesus Christ, the only holy king that will ever reign on earth, and they wind up burned up, right? Okay, with that in mind, look in Ephesians chapter 4 real quick. Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4 and verse 17. This I say, therefore, like I said, this is kind of a little, just an entry point into studying some stuff about how people's minds work. But this I say, therefore, verse 17, and testify in the Lord that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk. Okay, so don't be like the rest of your people, the Gentiles. Why? Because they walk in the vanity of their mind. Well, it was the imaginations that were vain earlier, right? It's telling you something, I think. Now, so here somebody winds up with a corrupt mind and the vanity of their minds. It was because when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations. The vanity and the imagination started in part because they were not thankful. So look at the other end of it. Philippians, next book over, Philippians 4. Philippians 4. Again, a promise that you know. 4:6, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with what? Thanksgiving. Okay, they were not thankful in Romans 1, right? But with prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. Because if you're thankful, you may not go... I mean, the reason Eve went the route she went, knowing full well what God said, she wasn't thankful. So her imaginations went vain. She was thinking ugly things about God in her head, and she wound up dead in trespasses and sins. And that's how we all wound up here. Now, the other side of it is to start out with gratitude maybe doesn't lead to vain imaginations. Because after all, here you have a fact, and you're grateful for that fact, and you don't try to imagine something against that fact. You don't try to imagine, get around it. The imaginations have to be cast down. I mean, they need to be smashed so you can at least capture the thoughts. Now, let me just close with just a couple things. There are a few more verses here, but first of all, you should just see, okay, we just read it, Psalms 2. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? Against the Lord and against His anointed. One of the places that your imaginations will produce evil is against God, okay? That's what Eve did. That's what the folks did in the wilderness. They imagined evil things, first of all, against God. He brought us out here to kill us. Well, don't be stupid. All the facts point the other direction. It's your imagination that got you there, right? Okay? Look in Hosea chapter 7. Hosea 7. Just want to give you some proof facts here. Hosea 7. Hosea chapter 7, verse 15. Hosea 7. Let's start verse 14. And they have not cried unto me with their heart, the Lord talking. When they howled upon their beds, they assemble themselves for corn and wine. They rebel against me. Though I have bound and strengthened their arms, yet do they imagine mischief. They imagine mischief against me. They have imaginations against God when God is feeding them, clothing them, and being a blessing to them. Look at Nahum. Book of Nahum, a few more books to the right. Nahum. Chapter 1. Verse 9. What do ye imagine against the Lord? He will make an utter end. Affliction shall not rise up the second time. He says, you're imagining evil things against God. Verse 11, there is one come out of thee that imagineth evil against the Lord. That's going to be the Antichrist, right? There is one that came out of thee that imagineth evil against the Lord, a wicked counselor. Okay, one of the things that you can imagine that where your imaginations shoot you is that they lead you to think evil of God. Why is God doing this to me? You know, he must be mad at me. He must be this, he must be that. If you're not careful, you go off the rails. Eve went off the rails. Many is the man in the Bible. I mean, Job got pretty close to going off the rails. He was still a righteous man, but he thought all sorts of things about God that he recorded in the book. And then in the end, the Lord bawled him out, and, you know, of course, Job got right. I'm not saying any of us would do better under his circumstances. I'm saying he imagined some things against God that weren't right. Right? Okay, now the second thing that you imagine evil against, if you're not careful, is man. Now look in Zechariah. Zechariah now, since you're in the minor prophets. And just a few more verses. Zechariah chapter 7. Zechariah chapter 7. And notice verse 10. So here is Zechariah. And oppress not the widow, nor the fatherless, the stranger, nor the poor. Let none of you imagine evil against his brother in your heart. You're not supposed to imagine evil against man, against your brother. And we've already, you know, illustrated tonight how that can work. You know, somebody looks at you crooked. Or, you know, because of one response somebody makes to you, you imagine some evil thing. You imagine, you know, you implant in them motives that you imagine for something they've done. And it might be something different. How often have you thought something only to be rebuked because you found later that actually that's not what the person was really doing? You just saw part of it. But you used your imagination to implant something evil in their actions. I mean, the reason he said this to me is because he still holds that thing from 6 months ago over my head. Right? You got to be careful of that stuff because that's not a fact. Now, it may turn out to be a fact, but so far, that's your imagination. You've got to be careful against God and against man. Look at Zechariah 8 while we're in Zechariah chapter 8, verse 17. Let none of you imagine evil in your hearts against his neighbor and love no false oath. Okay, don't imagine evil against your neighbor and in your thoughts. Look at Lamentations, the book after Jeremiah. Lamentations, we're almost done. I know it's been busy. Lamentations chapter 3. Lamentations chapter 3, verse 60. Let's start with verse 58. Now, this is the Lamentations of Jeremiah. So, this is Jeremiah talking. O Lord, thou hast pleaded the causes of my soul, thou hast redeemed my life. O Lord, thou hast seen my wrong, judge thou my cause. Thou hast seen all their vengeance and all their imaginations, the people's imaginations against me. Thou hast heard their reproach, O Lord, and all their imaginations against me. The people are imagining things against Jeremiah for speaking for God. They're imparting to him motives and purpose that are not true. I think the preacher hates me because he preached that message. It wasn't directed at you. Right? But it's easy to project fault or motive or purpose, and it's just your imagination. There are friendships, there are churches that have been ruined over that stuff. I'm not suggesting that you are. I'm suggesting you should make sure that you know that in God's sight, the imaginations are one thing, the thoughts are another. It's the imaginations you have to watch out for. Not saying that all your thoughts are pure, but it's the imaginations that screw stuff up. And those imaginations need to be cast down. I mean, they need to be smashed insofar as you can smash them. And then you'll have an easier time taking the needle off the record of the thoughts because the imaginations have been smashed. It's the imaginations that fuel the problems between you and God, and between you and your brother. Look at just another thing here, one more, Job 21, and then we're done. Well, no, we're not. So two more. Job 21. Verse All right, Job 21, 27. Here's Job. "Behold, I know your thoughts," his three friends, "and the devices which ye wrongfully imagine against me." It's easy for you to impugn one of your brothers or one of your neighbors, lost guy, saved guy, because you have imagined a motive or a reason for him doing something that may not be true. And there's nothing but, I mean, there's usually nothing but evil that can come of that, right? Okay, with that said, I have one more verse for you, Proverbs chapter 6. Proverbs 6, just a reminder. Verse 16. Okay, these six things doth the Lord hate. Seven are an abomination to him. Okay, a proud look. Now, it crosses my mind. You know, remember it said, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. So it's not just the imaginations to be cast down, but other things that were unnamed in 2 Corinthians 10 that exalt themselves against the knowledge of God. It crossed my mind that this may be the list here. A proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood. God hates these things. A heart that deviseth wicked imaginations. Those would be imaginations against God, and those would be imaginations against man. Right? Feet that are be swift to in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, he that soweth discord among the brethren. So, the title of the message is Casting Down Imaginations. And the imaginations are viewed as different from the thoughts, as far as I can see. But the imaginations are the problem. All right, let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank you tonight for some things, and had never thought about some of this quite this way. I appreciate and hope that you might refine our views of this and things that we have left untouched and that we may have gotten wrong. But I pray, Father, you might, like I said, refine our thoughts on these things with the scriptures. May you show some folks here maybe some things about themselves and the whys and wherefore some things, why some things have happened. Maybe it's because of this very thing. And so we'll ask you to please bless as we dismiss here pretty quick. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all find a